Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Nunvav, the 56th chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu. This, of course, is the continuation and the conclusion of the Haftorah, which is read on a Ufase, on a Tanis Tzibur. So a lot of the sections in this Perek we're going to recognize. It is a short Perek of only 12 Psukim. Really, really fantastic, really, really interesting and intriguing Perek. Let's start at the beginning. At the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up where Yeshayahu expresses the notion of what we should be doing, and perhaps perhaps what people misconceive when it comes to importance. So here's how he says. He says, listen, here's what you got to do. Shimru mishpat v'atzud tzedakah. Follow justice, which has been really a theme which Yeshayahu has been saying from all the way through, is be truthful, be just. Do tzedakah. Ki krova Yeshua silavo v'tzikosi ligolos, because my salvation is going to come very soon. And he says, Ashrei Yanosh Yasezos, praiseworthy is any person who does this. And lest you think, well, it's not about what you do, but it's who you are, Hashem disavows that perception. And here's how he does it very carefully. He says, anybody who keeps Shabbos, Shomer Shabbos Mechalalove, Shomer Yadom Yasez Koran, doesn't do any evil. Any such person is a person who is in my good books. And don't let anybody, don't let a person who is a, let's say, a convert to Judaism, a ben nechor, hanilva el Hashem, who has now attached themselves to God, to say, habdel yadilani Hashem e'alamoy, that I'm separate from the rest of the people, that I'm really not part of them. Or v'al yomar asaris, and don't let the people who don't have children necessarily, who don't have the same family structure, and say, hein ani eitz yovesh, that I'm a dry tree, I'm not don't really have a part in this people. Never let that misconception seep into the social strata in Judaism. Why? Hashem now expresses why each of these two categories of people are perhaps more downtrodden in society are people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu has special value for. And that's why in Pasuk Daled he says, Ki cho amar Hashem lasarisim. Hashem says to those who are childless, he says, if you keep my Shabbos and you do what I really, really want, then rasati lochem, lohem beveisi uvochomasa yad vashem. They may not have children, but I'm going to put for them in my house and in my walls a yad vashem, a monument, tov mi banim umi banos, which is even more worthy than children. Shame olam etenai, which is going to be an eternal name. Of course, Yad Vashem in Yerushalayim today takes its name from this pasuk in Yeshayahu, in a certain sense to the childless people, the legacies which were taken away from so many people. A Yad Vashem and a monument, a memorial was set up for them based on this pasuk. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the people don't have children, Judaism's still for you. It's still a piece. It's your legacy. It's what you do. Then he addresses the other group of people. And those converts who join the nation of Israel to serve Hashem, to love Him, to keep Shabbos, to keep His covenant, those people, Vaviosim al Har Kodshi, the apostle which is found its way to into Slichos, I'll bring them to my mount, my holy temple mount, Vesimartim Veis Tfilasi, and I'll make them happy in my place of Tfilah. I'll accept with great will their sacrifices on my altar, ki beisi beis tefillah yikore lechol ha'amim, for my place is a place where I accept everyone. And Hashem says Hashem is going to bring back all of the lost souls throughout all the generations. I'll bring them back. And that's how the Haftorah actually ends. Curiously, there's another pasuk at the end of the section, which is pasuk test, which is a very enigmatic pasuk, which says, Kol chayasoy hasadai esoyu le'echol kol chayasoy biyar. The animals, the wild animals of the field, will come to eat and consume the wild animals of the forest. That's the last pasuk in the section. And it leads then to the closing section of the Perek, which is also seems to be much more of a negative stance, which the Mefarshim says is now turning back to Israel and turns back to them and points to their shortcomings or shortcomings of their leaders. Anyway, he says that in the most stark words are Tzoyfov Ivrim Kulam. All those who are the watchmen of Israel are blind. They are dogs who are mute. They can't raise the alarm. Lo yuchulin boyach, they can't even bark. They love to run away. And these brazen dogs, these leaders, they don't know how to. They're only looking for their own satiation. They just want to nap in the sun. They just want to eat their meat. They're not interested in in being ra'im son to be shepherd dogs. They're all interested. Each leader's interested in their own, lining their own pockets, their own legacies. They say, let's drink wine, let's have some drinks. Today will be like tomorrow, we'll be fine tomorrow. Godol, yes, everything's going to be just great. And like the watchmen who don't see the host of the war coming, they're going to lead their flocks into the lion's den. That's how the pasuk ends. Strange way. It's a strange close, very different to the beginning of the parak. Let's just focus on a few things over here. It seems to be, first of all, that in the first section of the parak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really setting up what is the focus of Judaism. And as opposed to perhaps other societies, and even Judaism in some circles, unfortunately, we allow ourselves to be influenced by this, where family, money, there's certain things which create real distinction status, you know, like the board game Life, you know, there's status symbols, you know, which make you special. I was reading recently a book called Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. It's the 200th anniversary of the writing of the book. And when the creature, he calls himself the Wretch, which is what we call Frankenstein, but it's actually the monster. When he's overhearing a conversation, he's learning about humans. The more he hears about humans, he basically says it comes down to two things. The only way you can ever succeed is with either family or money. Without either of them, you are destined to a life of misery and a slave. That's what he learned about when he hears more about humans. And if you think about it to a certain degree, that's what the world has created. And perhaps in the Western world today, we have different sets of values which put people at the top of society. But what Judaism is setting up over here, what Yeshayahu is saying, is that Judaism is a meritocracy, which means to say, it doesn't really matter so much about where your parents come from. It doesn't matter so much where your children will be going. What really matters is actually what you're doing. Right? It means that there are people who don't have children. There are people who come from a background which isn't a Jewish background. Those are the past and the future. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need you to do what you're supposed to be doing. That's your legacy. That's what Yeshayahu seems to be setting up over here. It's not about then. It's not about the thens of the past, the thens of the future. It is the nows which matter. Why is Shabbos so crucial in this whole episode? Why is it that every time that Yeshayahu talks about succeeding in this meritocracy of Judaism, is it that Shabbos is the example which is chosen? So Radak, Rav David Kimchi addresses this, and he says that, in truth, this is a mitzvah which will help us, which we can actually perform in Golos. It's a mitzvah turn towards the Golos Jews, which is not land dependent. It's b'chol moshav eisechem. It is in all our places which we inhabit, which we can always keep throughout Golos. So sort of, so to speak, something which keeps us and holds us throughout the Golos. It's also, he quotes the Chazal, that one of the reasons why we went to Shabbos to Golos was for lacking the proper adherence to keeping the Shabbos itself. So it's our safeguard, but it's also our Achilles heel. It was our weakness which brought us into Golos. He also adds in that Shabbos has both negative and positive aspects to it. There's Shamar and Zachar, the things we don't do, and the things we do, which is exemplary of the rest of the Torah as well. Moreover, he says, there's ways that we can keep Shabbos externally without feeling it. We go to shul, we don't do this, and we make sure about that, but we don't feel it. Our Shabbos table isn't full of zmiros. We aren't telling Divrei Torah. We aren't experiencing Shabbos, learning more, spending more time with our family, and really talking about issues, not politics and people. Right, so it can be an external experience, which is Judaism in a certain sense is like that as well. Judaism can be an external ritual experience, or it can be something which we live, experience, and live for. And finally, he says, as he quotes the famous Chazal, that if we were to keep even two Shabbos, then we would be redeemed. Shabbos somehow is the key to our redemption, which is something which is very powerful and very beautiful. At the end of the section, there's this metaphor about the beasts of the field, about the beasts of the field are going to consume the beasts of the forest. Very strange metaphor. Rashi says that this refers to those who had made the commitment to convert to Judaism when they saw its truth will be the ones to consume or to bring to judgment those who didn't at the time that they could have and should have. Now notice that Judaism is not a proselytizing religion. We're not trying to make the whole world speak Judaism. But at the same time, there seems to be some sort of notion over here that there will be an indictment to those who perhaps had exposure to the truth but didn't necessarily want to make that commitment or lifestyle change necessarily. And who will the indictment be made by those who did, by those who were able to make that commitment? That's what Rashi suggests. The Malbim points out that maybe this is actually the bridge between the two sections, which is why it's omitted as the last pasuk of the Av Torah. And really it's referring to over here, the Chayas HaSadeh is referring to the beasts of the field and the beasts of the forest, is referring to the notion that we have these, we're called leaderless flocks, where we have, you know, these animals flowing astray, grazing wherever they want. Why? With lawlessness, because the leaders who are supposed to be leaders ultimately have no leadership. They're only interested in lining their own pockets, and this connects the one section to the other section. What I think comes out, if you take this from a fuller perspective, from the more holistic perspective, is the following. Is the end of this perek is, so if you put the two pieces together, like how the two pieces move together, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about those who are perhaps taken advantage of in society or deemed as less worthy by our judgmental societies, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of restoring them to based on their actions, and then criticizing the leaders. I think if you put the two pieces together, I think you get a more holistic picture, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is it really, really, really matters what you do. Because you have people who perhaps are scorned by some societies, who could be taken advantage of by some societies, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're the most worthy, you're most wonderful, you're the most loving, you are a part of my Yad Vashem Bevesiv Ocham Asayim, my house, my walls, you have a place. And the leaders, the people who simply have got office because they got office and they're holding on to it for whatever their own reasons are, those people who don't serve, those people who simply take, they may look like they're at the top of society, but they're worthless to me. So this is the contrast from the lowest to the highest. It's not what you see. And that's what Yeshayahu seems to be suggesting over here. God willing, we should be able to be zoichim, not just to become the people who serve Hashem wholeheartedly, but also to be able to see the people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu wholeheartedly. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.